What was on your mind when you came here this morning? What's been troubling you lately? What's been costing you sleep at night? What's been adding to your stress? When we come to this table each Lord's Day, we come out of a troubled world that we live in. Difficult workplaces, troubled relationships, failing health, and on the list could go. What would you add to that list this morning? We live in the midst of the curse's effects. But when we come here to this assembly and to this practice of this supper that we are about to engage in, we find something different, something that is a direct confrontation with the curse. In fact, is the curse's ultimate undoing. Here at this table, we find the body and the blood of the Lord represented in this bread and this cup. Here we find the solution to not just your troubles, but all troubles. Here we find the restoration of life in the midst of death. More than any other gospel, John's gospel records a large amount of teaching that Jesus gave his disciples in the context of the Lord's Supper. We often forget that. The section that runs chapters 13 through 17 was given in the context of the Last Supper. More than any other gospel, John shares with us what the Lord said to his disciples on the night he was betrayed to his own sacrificial death. Leading up to that supper, which is only briefly, the supper itself only briefly glanced over in chapter 13, leading up to that supper in John chapter 12, Jesus said this in verse 27. Now is my soul troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this purpose I have come to this hour. Father, glorify your name. And the voice came from heaven, I have glorified it, and I will glorify it again. And the crowd that stood there heard it said, and said it had thundered. Others said, an angel has spoken to him. But Jesus answered and said, this voice has come for your sake, not mine. Now is the judgment of this world. Now will the ruler of this world be cast out. And I, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all people to myself. He said this to show what kind of death he was going to die. And then you turn the page into chapter 13. And Jesus shares in the Last Supper with his disciples. And Jesus then begins to discourse with them at length. And when you pick up in the midst of that long discourse in chapter 14, Jesus then says to his disciples, the beginning of verse 27 there, John 14 and verse 27, he says, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Because anything the world gives can be taken away again. Anything the world gives you can lose. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. You've heard me say, I'm going away, and I will come to you. If you loved me, you would have rejoiced, because I am going to the Father, for the Father is greater than I. And now I have told you before it takes place, so that when it does take place, you may believe. I will no longer talk much with you, for the ruler of this world is coming. And again, there he refers to the death. He's about to die in a few hours. That ruler has no claim on me, but I do as the Father has commanded me, so that the world may know that I love the Father. Chapter 16, now beginning in verse 5, the discourse continues. But now I am going to him who sent me, and none of you asks me, where are you going? But because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I did not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. And when he comes, he will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. Concerning sin, because they do not believe in me. Concerning righteousness, because I go to the Father and you will no longer see me. Concerning judgment, because the ruler of this world is cast out. Dropping down to verse 31, same chapter. Jesus answered them, Do you now believe? Because the hour is coming, indeed it has come, when you will be scattered each to his own home, and you will leave me alone. Yet I am not alone, for the Father is with me. I have said these things to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but take heart. I have overcome the world. As we come to this table this morning, leave your cares and troubles behind. The words that Jesus has spoken, the words that we have just read, remind us that in this supper, when it was first established, and in the hours that immediately followed it, Jesus struggled, Jesus was troubled, and Jesus overcame all that can trouble us. Leave your temptations and your struggles behind. Here in this brief moment, we both look back to the past, to the cross, and the price paid for our redemption from our sins by his body and blood. But we also look forward to the eternal rest and peace in God's presence forever. The first past moment makes the second future moment possible. Take heart, Jesus says. I have overcome the world. There's a remarkable consistency, both in substance and tone, across the Apostle John's writings. John, who records these words in his gospel, because he was there when Jesus spoke them, he heard them with his own ears, only later to record them by inspiration. That same inspiration later takes John to write about these words in his own voice, in his first letter. He who was there on the night of the Last Supper and heard these words spoken by the flesh and blood Savior reiterates them in his own voice to us in 1 John chapter 4 and verse 4 when he says this to us, "Little children, you are from God and have overcome them. For he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world." Chapter 5, next page in verse 4 of that first letter, John goes on to write this, "For everyone who has been born of God overcomes the world." How can John say that? Well, because he was there the night Jesus first spoke it to him. And he saw the cross. He was there. He saw the empty tomb. He was there. Everyone who has been born of God overcomes the world. By the time he writes these words, he's lived a long apostolic life. And the Lord has been with him. And the Lord has delivered him. And he can now, at the end of his life, write these powerful words on his own authority in the Spirit. Everyone who has been born of God does overcome the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Who is it that overcomes the world except the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? This table around which we now gather is a moment in which we confess again the faith each of us once confessed before our baptism. Jesus is the Son of God. Jesus died for the forgiveness of our sins. Jesus was raised on the third day as he foretold. We confess again our belief that Jesus is the Son of God. And in so doing, we with him overcome the world. What's on your mind this morning? What burdens are you bearing? What temptations are you struggling with? As we come to the table, may we strengthen our faith in Christ, that in him we have overcome all of it. As we eat and drink, may we deepen our grasp and our understanding that in him and through him, by his death and his resurrection, we have by God's favor overcome the sting of sin and the sentence of death. We make relatively trivial the trials and the tribulations and the difficulties of our present life in this fallen world. Whatever burdens we were bearing when we walked in these doors this morning, leave them behind in this moment. Because here and now at this table, we participate in the only reality, the ultimate reality of what really matters. Jesus died and was raised from the dead. And in Jesus of Nazareth, all that harms and all that opposes us has been overcome. In the world you will have tribulation, he said, the night he established this supper. But take heart, I have overcome the world. And Jesus of Nazareth, all that harms and opposes us has been overcome. Do you believe that this morning? Then eat and drink with thankfulness and with joy, and in so doing, grow your faith in him who has overcome the world.